The Secretary of Standing Orders, the Honourable the Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, I beg to move under Standing Order 7.3 to suspend Standing Order 7.1 in order to proceed with a government motion. I'd like to draw the attention of honourable members to Standing Order 59, suspension of standing orders. Any standing order may, with the consent of the Speaker, be suspended on motion of which at least one day's notice in writing, exclusive of Saturday, Sundays, and public holidays, has been given to the clerk, provided that it is satisfied that the matter is one of urgent necessity. The Speaker may dispense with the requirement that notice shall be given. If the motion be carried, the standing order shall be suspended so far as is necessary to carry out the object for which the motion was made. No debate shall be allowed on such motion being made. I do not wish myself to dispense with the requirement that notice shall be given, and therefore I give it to honourable member to decide whether we should dispense with the necessary notice in order to proceed with the signature of the motion. Mr. Speaker, the indication you give is, I believe, that you do not wish to be the arbiter of whether it should be that notice should not be given, because the motion, as members will know, concerns you. So, in that context, I'm grateful you're going to put it to a vote of members.
Yes, I naturally do not wish to myself exercise the discretion which the standing order gives me, and therefore it is a matter for Parliament to decide.
Mr. Speaker, in respect to the Honourable Leader of the House, where is the motion? I mean, can we read the motion? We haven't got a motion in front of us here. Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, I thought all Honourable Members had been circulated with it, right? In that case, I've seen photocopies, actually. Thank you.
Mr. Can I invite you to put the motion to the vote? And I understand all the members of the panel. The introduction of the motion to the vote, not the motion. So the suspension of standing orders. We've discussed this here across a few chairs, I have to say, because we haven't had notice of this at the first time. Is now when the Honourable Leader has stood up. But I don't think that procedurally this is actually appropriate. I mean, what Standing Order 59 says in its second sentence is provided that if he is satisfied that the matter is one of urgent necessity, the Speaker may dispense with the requirement and notice shall be given. Now, I don't know what the urgency in actually considering a motion like this on the hoof. I can understand politically why the Chief Minister wants to do it, but procedurally, as a matter of substance, I don't understand what the urgency is in order to consider a motion of this nature at this stage. Well, we've got a number of questions, we've still got a people of question time, and we can all get on with the business of the House. And we're certainly not in agreement that there ought to be effectively a good amount of notice period for these particular reasons. I think I will explain to the Honourable Gentleman why this is of urgent necessity, and I will explain to him procedurally what is happening. What is happening is that he has called into question their fairness this morning during the course of the last question. Therefore, before we proceed with the rest of the questions, I want the Parliament to have an opportunity to express its confidence in you. You have said, Mr. Speaker, that because the subject matter is confidence in you, you don't want to be the one making the decision. And therefore, you've offered the Parliament the opportunity of indicating whether it believes that there is an urgent necessity to progress this matter now. That's why you're offering us the opportunity to express our view to you, so you then exercise your discretion in that way. All I am offering the Honourable Members is the opportunity to deal with this now before we continue the questions. I would have thought this could be dealt with very quickly and very shortly, with all members of the Parliament then expressing confidence in you before we continue with question time. If the Honourable Member doesn't understand the substantive importance of that, the necessity of that for our community, then he wasn't listening to himself this morning when he created the spectacle that he created. And I think that all I understand is the Honourable Gentleman's desire to take political capital and mischaracterize you, particularly what I said this morning. I did not say that the Honourable the Speaker was unfair towards the opposition in a systemic way. The day that we have to bring a motion of censure against this Speaker or any other Speaker because we felt that the Speaker was being systemically unfair to the opposition, we will do so. And we will not shy away from doing so. What I said was that in relation to Mr. Speaker's intervention this morning, as indeed in relation to an intervention last month, as I pointed out, he was being unfair. Indeed, I believe that he was belittling the opposition in relation to that particular intervention. Now, that does not require a vote of confidence. And the only reason why the Honourable the Chief Minister is bringing this particular motion is in order to take political advantage and political capital. And it really is the fit a Chief Minister and a Leader of the House to take advantage of the situation for his own narrow political ends and doing away with all public interest and in my view, for all decorum and proper parliamentary conduct. And I have to say, we are certainly not going to be pressed down by the Chief Minister and the Leader of the House into considering this motion as a matter of urgency, because there is nothing urgent about the motion.
I suggest to Honourable Members of the House to recess for 10 or 15 minutes and give an opportunity to the Chief Minister and the Leader of the Opposition to pass from that moment.
I think that we will accept that invitation, but I'm telling you that the intention of the government is to proceed with this motion.
The House will now request the Chamber to move.
I understand that the Chief Minister and the leader of the opposition have not been able to come to an agreement to resolve this particular issue. I am not prepared, since the matter concerns me personally, I am not prepared to exercise the discretion of powers which are given to me under the standing rules in order to make it possible for this particular motion to be debated this afternoon. And therefore, what standing order in the absence of my dispensing is a requirement, what standing order 59 effectively requires is that a day's notice has been given, and therefore the matter can be taken immediately. The decision of the government, the matter can be taken tomorrow in the show.
Mr. Speaker, in those circumstances, the government is not content to continue today with question time until this issue has been resolved and the Parliament has had the opportunity of expressing its confidence in you and your ability to discharge your function, Mr. Speaker, without fear or favour of either side. And in those circumstances, I therefore move that the House be now adjourned until tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. when the first thing that we will be able to do will be to this motion.
I'll propose the question in the terms of the motion moved by the Chief Minister, namely that the House is now adjourned to 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to speak on the motion to adjourn, as I think that I mentioned it. The rules provide for a one day notice. Tomorrow morning at 9:30 does not constitute a one day notice. Now, Mr. Speaker, can I say that an adjournment as far as the opposition is concerned is preferable to the government riding rusted over the procedures and the dignity of this House by effectively masquerading a motion or a vote of confidence in the Speaker in order to make political decisions out of the events of this morning. And I will also say this, that although Mr. Speaker says because it concerns him, he's not prepared to consider exercising his discretion, the reality of the situation is that Mr. Speaker can only exercise his discretion to suspend standing orders if the matter is one of urgency. The matter is not one of urgency, and again, the matter is not one of urgency, and no objective, my respectful position and view, no objective speaker objectively exercising his discretion would come to the conclusion that the matter is urgent and we have to take it now. What is happening here is that the government effectively is willing to distinctly do away with the political session, which is 2 minutes of question time, move that until tomorrow to the distinctly justice chance present what is an empty, futile notion of confidence. I rise to reply to that intervention and move over the motion for agenda now. The Order of Government has repeatedly, early and now, that he believes that this is not an urgent matter. You have rightly decided, perhaps, not to become involved in determinations of whether the rules allow suspension or not, because this involves you. But of course, the honourable gentleman tries to make us all forget is that it was he that was also the participant of the events of this morning. It is therefore he who is suggesting, now that it's not urgent, as if nothing had happened this morning, out of his own self-serving desire to avoid standing up to this community for what he did this morning and the effect and import of what he did this morning by impugning your fairness as he did. The government's position, Mr. Speaker, is that this is an urgent matter, and it is a necessary matter before we are able to continue dealing with issues related to questions. But I was very interested to hear the Honourable Gentleman say that he calls this 2 minutes of question time the political session of the Parliament. Interesting, Mr. Speaker, because it's something that I have introduced when I become Chief Minister. It appears to be something that he thinks is a valuable thing that could have been done before. So I will take at least that from the Honourable Gentleman's speech, that he recognises that in having introduced sessions of a regularity on a monthly basis on the third Thursday, although this first month it's on the fourth at 3 p.m., we are in fact easily confronted, which is the political moment in our parliament.
But the fact is that this morning, during the course of question time, fairness was impugned, and therefore the government considered it was appropriate not to progress matters until that issue has been dealt with. I would have thought, Mr. Speaker, that all that was going to happen here this afternoon, instead of the honourable gentleman trying to hide his painful behaviour of this morning behind allegations that the government is somehow trying to create political capital out of something, all that would have happened, which is what I expected when I said this morning that I would be moving this motion, is that we simply have been able, all of us, to rally round a simple motion of no confidence, which is literally one sentence, support you, and agree that we sometimes all might feel hard done by your decision. Well, Mr. Speaker, it hasn't been possible to do that because the honourable gentleman has decided that he wants to do everything possible to avoid having this motion. He's described this, Mr. Speaker, as a motion that he will not be bounced into. I think it's important that people realise what it is that we're talking about. And one would not want to be bounced into a 20-line motion dealing with complicated issues of international relations. This motion, Mr. Speaker, is one sentence, and I think it's important that the community knows that the motion is simply this. This House has full confidence in Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Adolfo Canepa, GMH, OBU, MP. That is the motion that the Honourable Gentleman would not be bound simply. That is the motion, Mr. Speaker, that I would have thought all of us would be able to support when we are able to consider it. And if that is tomorrow at 9:30, then so be it, if it's not going to be this afternoon. But the fact is, Mr. Speaker, that the events of this morning require urgently and necessitate that this House take this motion. That is the government's view, and that is how the government will proceed. And those, Mr. Speaker, who want to continue to make, or attempt to make, politics, even of the most basic rules, need to address for themselves whether they understand parliamentary democracy and whether they understand the role of each of us in this place. Mr. Speaker, you reminded us last time that point of order related to the rules. I moved the motion. Somebody spoke on that motion. Nobody else appeared to speak. I rose to reply. And I move that we put the motion on the amendment to a vote. If the honourable member wanted to speak earlier, he should have got up. There was a comment this morning in the White House News that I conduct the affairs of this house as a schoolmaster, which putting school children in their place. Sometimes one wonders whether it is not a headmaster that is required here to try and knock something into honourable members. Because quite honestly, sometimes I despair about what I am up against in trying to get things done in a manner which raises the esteem in which this house is held and should be held, and with people outside find that they can understand, because sometimes I think the public, notwithstanding the fact that the proceedings of the House are being televised, sometimes the public really don't understand what is going on and why things are going on. Very often when it suits honourable members, there is no problem. Even during the second reading of a bill, they get up and they intervene more than once. But of course, if you want to stand to the city by the rules, we are also able to do that. And I suppose on the basis of what is good for the rules is good for the government. I regret personally that should be the case. I'm opening my heart to honourable members. I enjoy this job enormously. I never thought I would have an opportunity to do it. I'd like to do it for a while longer, for as long as God gives me health, good health to do it, and for as long as honourable members wish me to do it. But I think honourable members, some honourable members in particular,
who may sometimes think that this is a court of law and not Parliament, will also realize that they do not make the work of the Speaker easy at all. It is not easy to be totally objective in applying the rules, to appear to be fair, and to try to ensure that the perception that people have outside is the correct one. That is not easy. I try, I even pray about it because I believe in the power of prayer, but I do not find it easy. And I also have a strong personality, as honorable members know, and I do make mistakes. And I apologize when I make a mistake, and I hope that that is the end of the matter, and that it will not be referred to again. What I'm trying to say is that honorable members, particularly those who are going to be here for a number of years, must realize that it is not easy to sit in the Speaker's chair, and that not everybody is going to want to do the job. And the time may come when someone will say, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm leaving, and that is the end of the matter. I'm not in that position myself. As I say, I enjoy the work enormously. I want to carry on, but I do have to make an appeal. If I make a mistake, I am only human. I am prepared to apologize. I do make mistakes. It is easy for me because I sat on both sides of the house, and perhaps I am a more proactive person than other speakers who have never been members of the house. And if I do make a mistake in that respect, I apologize undeservedly. But I would like to see honorable members putting their heads together, trying to make life not too difficult for me, and in the process, enhancing the reputation of this Parliament and the regard in which Parliament should be held. If I'm speaking nonsense, I apologize again. Now, does the Honourable Chief Minister wish me to proceed and to formally put the motion in order? I should remind him then that notice of the suspension of standing orders was given at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and therefore he cannot actually move the suspension of standing orders until 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Because I understood that the 9:30 was suspended. It was 3 o'clock, then 3 o'clock.
Today, I don't want to be,
it doesn't say 24 hours.
It doesn't say 24 hours.
I have no difficulty supposing that the adjournment be for 3 p.m.
It doesn't say 24 hours, but if you wish to be prevented, it has to be 24 hours. If it is challenged, it has to be 24 hours. If it is not challenged, it can be the first thing in the morning, tomorrow morning at 9:30. That's the honorable member.
I'm quite happy, given the statement of the legal group, I'm quite happy to move the agenda to 3 p.m. instead of 9:30.
Now, quickly, question which is of the House is now adjourned to tomorrow morning at 9:30. Are you in favor? At 3 p.m., sorry. I now put the question.
Mr. Speaker, for the avoidance of doubt, I may lay a scene for myself. If the motion to adjourn had gone to a vote on the floor of the House today, I personally would have voted against it, and it would have had nothing whatsoever to do whether I have confidence in Mr. Speaker or whether I do not have confidence in Mr. Speaker. And this question, I do not hesitate to say, which I believe also to be the position of my family and the others in them, that I have complete confidence. I would have voted against it because I have not, there is one person who's been in this house longer than I am now, but it would be nobody whose memory is different to mine. In the years that I have been in this house, I have never known it for a chief minister to try and railroad the procedures of this house to the point that the opposition discover the existence of a motion, not to ask
for it to succeed in print, or fail it in print, it is moved by mover, and we're expected to vote on it, all in the space of 3.5 minutes. It's an issue, therefore, that I would have voted against as a matter of principle to preserve the procedural integrity of this House. And then, in the next speaking of this motion that comes to be heard tomorrow, or whenever it comes to vote tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I suppose, I would certainly intend to be voted in favour of the motion, and have nothing to do with the reason why I would have voted this year. Mr. Speaker, it is clearly recalled in Hansard today that the need to delay the motion until tomorrow has got nothing to do with my willingness to express confidence in Mr. Speaker today. Nothing at all. I'm obliged to have a feeling.
There's one thing I wish to mention. I want tomorrow at 6:15 to attend a church service. It's a funeral mass at 6:15. I would feel very bad if I was not able to meet that commitment because it means a lot to me. And therefore, if we are returning tomorrow at 3, it may not be easy. It may be difficult to conduct all the business of the House between 3 and, say, 16. It may be difficult.
And Mr. Speaker, first of all, let me reassure you that there's no question of us holding you back on the appointment. We can recess or adjourn if necessary at that time. If we haven't dealt with all the business of the House tomorrow, I haven't started with 3, I can continue to deal with it. And let me, Mr. Speaker, reply to the Honourable Gentleman in his intervention. Mr. Speaker, he doesn't seem to remember anything that happened in the 15 years when he was in power. I'm not surprised that he wants to blank it out. But those of us who sat opposite him for a period of that time, or part of that time, will have seen what a house railroaded really looks like. Never, Mr. Speaker, has the House had to consider a motion as simple as the one it is going to be asked to consider tomorrow. And this idea that they have 3.5 minutes to consider it really does surprise me. Well, perhaps it shouldn't surprise me from him, Mr. Speaker, because given that when he became a backbencher, he decided that he wasn't going to come to all of the meetings of this House, and this morning he wasn't here, he might not have heard me say this morning that I was going to move the motion this afternoon. I have therefore been surprised to hear that honourable members were surprised that the motion was there, because during the course of the debate this morning they were told. And it's not as if this is a difficult motion to understand and support. But I am very happy, Mr. Speaker, to hear that the Honourable Gentleman, if he dangerous with his presence, perhaps I should call him the Honourable Knight rather than just the Honourable Gentleman. If the Honourable Knight is going to dangerous with his presence tomorrow, I'm very pleased to hear that he's going to be voting in favour of the motion. And that, in fact, if those of us who are very keen to see Parliament progress with its work had been able to prevail, we might simply have been able to deal with such a positive support of you and of this motion that is important to the government and to the community, simply being dealt with this afternoon. But, Mr. Speaker, for reasons that have now become apparent, honourable members opposite do not want to simply support confidence in you this afternoon. I shall have more to say, Mr. Speaker, about the historic decisions of this Parliament when issues like this have been raised in the past. Tomorrow is in the substantive debate in the next. Mr. Speaker, we are dealing with an issue which is going to require the government to adjourn because the opposition wants to stick to the letter of the standing order. Well, the letter of the standing order says that there has been a motion amended put. I have moved the amendment. Somebody has spoken against it, or spoken on it, not necessarily against it. I have then been invited to reply, and therefore I think that is the end of the debate. Otherwise, the position is going to be allowed to make up the rules as to when they reply or not.
We have a difficulty. The original motion for the adjournment was for 9:30. That the Chief Minister amended in inverted commas to 3 p.m. tomorrow. In proposing the motion, I did not myself say that any other honourable member wished to speak on the motion before I called the mover to reply. I didn't do that. And because I didn't do that, I am allowing the leader of the opposition to take the floor.
Mr. Speaker, having heard the difficulties that Mr. Speaker has, and my reading of the rules, and at the end of the day, the rules are the rules, and the rules are there. My reading of the rules, when it talks about one day's notice, means 24 hours notice. That's what I believe, in all fairness, that the rules indicate. Otherwise, we could end up in a situation where you could have an adjournment at 12 o'clock, just simply for 9 o'clock the next day. I don't think that is the intention. However, having heard Mr. Speaker's personal difficulty, I have no difficulty with the adjournment to be motion to be taken at 9:30 tomorrow. I say that as an olive branch to the honourable the leader of the House. And may I also say this on Mr. Speaker's words a few minutes ago. Everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes. Everybody in this Parliament makes mistakes. But the reality is that I haven't, at any stage today, questioned Mr. Speaker's impartiality in a systemic or general way. But one must also be honest and hold to one's view if I felt that Mr. Speaker, the state of the Obama wife, have not treated us fairly in relation to that particular case. And I do not believe that either question the integrity of Mr. Speaker now necessitates a motion of confidence, which the opposition, as I indicated this morning, would be supporting, but what we cannot do is allow the Honourable the Leader of the House to effectively ignore proper procedure of this House and lay away a motion for the Leader of the House.
In the light of what the Leader of the Opposition has said, does the Chief Minister wish to ask one of his colleagues to move an amendment to the motion for the adjournment so that the House adjourns to tomorrow morning at 9:30. Does he wish to do that?
No, Mr. Speaker. Given the way that the debate has developed this afternoon, I think it would be better all round that we simply stick to the rules, or at least to the strictest interpretation of the rules. I do not believe that a day has to be, in the context of these rules, 24 hours. But if members of the group say that that is how they would interpret the rules, and I'm going to allow them to have those 24 hours to ruminate over how they deal with the motion. But nonetheless, Mr. Speaker, it is just to say that I will certainly move an adjournment or a recess at 6 o'clock to allow Mr. Speaker good time to attend his other commitments.
I commend to the Select Committee that they have a very close look at the standing orders of the House and decide what amendments they want for the future. Having said that, I now put the motion, which is that this House do now adjourn to tomorrow at 3 p.m. Those in favour? Those against? Carried. The House will now adjourn to tomorrow at 3 p.m.